are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock back again with you on this Thursday episode. My guest, as usual, while the 49ers are still playing football games, and we're in January now, and we're still doing weekly winks on Thursday, my guest, Nick Winkler, joining the show. We had a whole bunch of intro stuff, and we were talking about all kinds of things that we had to stop talking about to get into the podcast here. Nick, I'm going to play the sounder. I'm super excited about this, and I know you are. The 49ers, late January, playing football, NFC Championship game against the Green Bay Packers.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
That was a hell of a football game put on by the 49ers. Like, their defense came out and just smacked the Vikings in the mouth. I told you I was worried about Dalvin Cook. They were too, clearly, because they shut him down. It was so nice to see Nick Bosa. He's a man amongst boys, which is crazy to say for a rookie that can only get bigger, stronger, faster, better. Like, it's just nuts, dude. And yeah, Garoppolo, he made the mistake, you know, the boneheaded interception that he tried to make earlier in the game. Nearly the exact same play, it was just dropped, but they overcame it. You know, they came out, they ran the ball 46 times. Like, that, dude, it was amazing. And, you know, Coleman came back and reestablished himself as like, oh, this is why Shanahan has stuck with me all these times. Because, you know, I find the holes, I slither, I get, you know, I get 3-4 yards, even when it looks like there's nothing there. And yeah, I mean, they just look like a great football team. And I've said it for months now, man, that is a championship defense.
Shout out to Tevin Coleman, by the way, who obviously listens to the podcast because right. He was running angry. He looked different. Don't you think he looked different?
He did.
There was a little bit of an extra, and he's always been a downhill runner. He brings a little bit more thump than the other running backs. And I think that's one of the reasons that Kyle Shanahan likes him. He's a ball security is big with him too. Mm-hmm. He doesn't fumble the football. If you're trying to beat a team into submission and you're trying not to fumble away a lead, I think Tevin Coleman's probably a logical choice to go to at running back. So I had less of a problem seeing him carrying the ball, even though I really felt like Raheem Mostert was going to break just about every run.
Every time he touches the ball, yeah. I feel like that's going to happen, yeah.
But Tevin Coleman had a little even extra than he normally has, I thought, which was awesome to see. Like, go out there with that intensity, run like it's the last game of your life. That was fantastic, and it worked.
Yeah, I mean, was it the Carolina game where he got 4 touchdowns?
Yes, that game.
Yeah, it looked like that.
Luke Kuechly, that game basically sent him into retirement.
Wow, that's right? Nuts, man.
Same, 8 years. Just like Patrick Willis in his late 20s retiring. I kind of like it, but
you got to respect it. You know, you get out there, you make your money, probably took good care of his money, and now he's going to go out before it's too late. And you got to admire that.
I completely understand going out on your own terms when you're still healthy. You still have a life. You got a lot of money in the bank. You're in your late 20s and then go enjoy things. And I wonder,
I wonder
what that's done for Patrick Willis. You've seen him recently. He still looks like he's in good enough shape to play from what I understand. And I'm sure he's enjoying his health that some guys that play until they get scraped off the field don't have. But I also understand that mentality. It's like, I want to play this until I am forced and not allowed to play another single down in the NFL. I get it from both vantage points.
Yeah, I mean, I basically said, like, wow, you know, you still look big enough to play. You know, you miss it. And he's like, well, of course I miss it. He's like, but I feel good. And so I got what that meant. Like, he didn't let his body get too beat up. Like, he's stepped away from the game, and he's still healthy. You know, he didn't let it deteriorate his body to that point. And that's why he did it. And you got to respect the hell out of that.
And when you think about Patrick Willis, you remember greatness. You don't remember, like, receding hairline plays for the Seahawks, Jerry Rice. You know what I mean?
Right. Or like Emmitt Smith out there, you know, falling forward for 2 yards with the Cardinals.
Yeah. So there's both sides of it. I totally see it. You know what would be funny is if Patrick Willis, you're like, hey, do you miss it? And he's like, you know what? I miss it, but I still hit people really hard that ask dumb questions.
And then he takes a step towards the tower in a corner. Yeah. That's a good move on his part.
P. Willie. I miss watching Patrick Willis, so I know how Panthers fans feel. They're going to miss watching who was basically, and we talked about this on the Locked On NFL show Wednesday, right after we heard the news about the Kuechly retirement, and it was basically Ray Lewis was the best linebacker in the NFL. He passed the baton to Patrick Willis, and Patrick Willis passed the baton to Luke Kuechly. Like, Navarro Bowman might have actually even held it for a season, but I mean, Kuechly basically was the next best linebacker in the NFL.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that. It really is.
Bobby Wagner's up there, but who's the next guy?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue against Wagner. The guy goes out there year in and year out, plays every snap, and just puts up ridiculous numbers. I hate to say it because he's a Seahawk, but yeah, it very well could be him.
We were doing, I don't remember what we were doing. I think we were just previewing position groups or something. I can't remember what it was on Locked On NFL earlier this season. I think it was before the season. And I was surprised to learn that Bobby Wagner is actually older than Luke Kuechly.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, Kuechly, who's been in the league since he's 21, 8 years, he's still, he hasn't even turned 29 yet. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. Hey, real quick, though, back to the Niners. I don't like this news about George Kittle limping around in sweatpants, not practicing, sore from Saturday still.
I think there's some precautions going on. D Ford not practicing, obviously. Quan Alexander on the field, but non-contact jersey. I think I'd be more worried Thursday and Friday if Kittle doesn't practice. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was playing like a monster. Did you see the mic'd up with him? And he was just like,
run it again.
Yeah, run it again. He's like, somebody buy a ticket. I'm giving rides out here. Blocking defensive ends 8 yards into the defense. Like, if he's a monster, he has to play. Like,
yeah,
whatever. Like, I don't care if he practices a single snap, if that makes him able to play. But you do not like hearing him being dinged up a little bit.
No, you don't. You know, you're talking about him being mic'd up. But the NFL is kind of missing an opportunity there. Like, you could have him mic'd up and charge people to listen to him during the game. I think you can make a killing on that sort of thing. Like, I would pay it.
How difficult is that job? You're the editor for that. Because there's, I would say, 97% of what they say on the field can't make air, right?
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
If it was live, like that, you know how they on the national championship football game, which I love, by the way, you could watch the all 22 angle live. There's the data center and all these different things that you could watch live during the game. It's just a matter of time.
They got like the coach cam and everything.
It's just a matter of time before they'll be able to do this kind of stuff in the NFL. I think the perfect thing would be all 22 angle, but you still have the play-by-play audio. But after the play, they go to the replay from the broadcast angle. So you bring all of those elements together. I think that would be the ideal way to watch it.
I like that. Well, it's kind of like they tried something, you know, some new stuff last year when I think Amazon was broadcasting a Thursday night game and they went with like the Madden view. You're like behind the quarterback the whole game. And that was cool. Like they tried something new. I love your idea. I think they should try it, man. That's
and
a good call.
I feel like there's only a matter of time. And NFL's kind of a little bit behind. There's, you know, a bunch of old dudes in charge there. And eventually I think it'll get there. It's a matter of time before we'll be able to choose all of those things, I think, for NFL games as it happens, which is awesome. But I think the one thing we won't ever get is the mic'd up live, just because it would be just constant.
So dirty. Yeah.
Like that's what it would sound like, I think.
But it'd be like the HBO version, you know? Like,
dude, Don't bleep it out. That would be amazing.
Yeah, well, like no kids, man. But it's funny too is on Inside the NFL, like they would still bleep out bad words.
Yeah,
when it was on HBO.
On HBO and even Hard Knocks, there it's like there's stuff that people are probably a little bit uncomfortable with, and they cut everything from that. I'm sure too.
Right.
All right, let's get into these mailbag questions. Talk a little bit more about this upcoming NFC Championship game against the Green Bay Packers. Can you believe it's conference championship week? 49ers, Packers, a really good one in the AFC too with the Titans at Chiefs. Time's up for two of these teams playing this weekend, but you still have time to feed your fantasy fix with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football. Every run, throw, and catch mean more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Just draft your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching a game quite like having a free shot at over $750,000 with your first deposit. Plus, for a limited time, all new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. That's some extra cash to play with throughout the playoffs. Download the DraftKings app now and use code LOCKEDON. That's one word, locked on, for a limited time. Both new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500 on your next deposit. New users, be sure to enter code LOCKEDON during sign up, and you'll also get a free shot at over $750,000 with your first deposit. That's code LOCKEDON, and you can get a deposit bonus up to $500 only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Deposit bonus requires a 25 times playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. I want to go to William. He says, I scheduled my wife's C-section so I wouldn't be watching the Super Bowl in the hospital just in case my Niners make it. You got to love that, right?
Yeah, dude, great work. I mean, my wife and I, we scheduled her C-section a week before Christmas because our son was due on Christmas. But yeah, no, I get it. I totally get it.
He doesn't say if it's before or after. You would want your child to have been alive for the Super Bowl if the 49ers make it there, right? So it's got to be the week right in between. Or do you want to just wait till after?
I think you got to go before, man. Have that kid around, you know, that way they can, they'll have no idea. But you'll say, wow, you were, you know, here's a cool story about when you were born and here's why we did it. And then you show a picture of them hoisting the Lombardi trophy, right?
Yeah. And people will be like asking William, they're like, hey, why'd you name your daughter George Kittle? That's an odd name for a girl.
Right. That's a good one.
An email from Brett. He says, I've been a big fan of the show from Boston for many years, listening on the cold train rides into the city almost every morning. A few questions for you after the divisional round. Shout out to Brett and all the listeners over there in Boston. He says, first, where does this 49ers season rank in all seasons that you've been alive to see, regardless of what happens next week with the Packers? Let's start there. Nick?
I mean, just the regular season alone, I can't remember, you know, one more dominant other than, you know, the 94 squad, right? I mean, yeah, there was a lot going on in the late 80s, but I was so young, it was kind of hard to appreciate what they were doing back then. So I'd probably put him second behind that 94 team.
Brett goes on to say he does think that this is a more fun team to watch than the Harbaugh teams. Those are the only good ones that he's been alive to see. I can remember the 88, 89 teams that dominated back-to-back. Like, that was where, like, that's the pinnacle for me. So I don't know if you can get to that because you're a child and that's the first memory of, like, this great football team that you're learning to love this sport. So I don't think you can ever top that. The Harbaugh years were super fun because the 49ers had been bad for so long and they hadn't had very many meaningful games since that 94 Super Bowl. The 94 team was so dominant, though. That team was insane. I mean, that team was Hall of Famer after Hall of Famer on the field.
Yeah, so like you said, being so young in the late 80s, it was – plus not really knowing that there was anything else. You know, that's kind of how I was introduced to it in 88 and 89. It was like, oh, okay, so we just win all the time. Cool. Like, this football's awesome. And then they didn't win for a few years, and they struggled, and then, you know, and then the transition to young, and then, you know, all of that. And then after that, it was just like, okay, getting close, nothing. Getting close, and then – it was just dreadful for so long. And then Harbaugh came along and resurrected everything. And it was like, okay, football's fun again to watch. And now, yeah. And then that hit a wall. And it was like, oh, here we go again. Yeah. And now this season is like, there it is again, the resurrection and 13-3 and a dominant playoff win. And it's good, man. This is up there for me for sure.
I had the question Tuesday. It was a similar question. It was asking if you would rather have one of the Harbaugh teams win the Super Bowl or this current team. And I think that's the best part about this team is the hopefulness of how long it can go and what's being built. There's a foundation built, a young team here. A lot of these starters seeing their first ever playoff starts last week. So what could become and how this could go going forward, even if the 49ers don't win Sunday, I think is super fun. So that's why I lean toward this current team right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially with, you know, with the way they really dominated the West, you know, yeah, they lost the game to Seattle, but you know, it was on a last second kick in the overtime, you know, where your kicker missed it, you know, you had a shot to win. And this is a young team that only knows winning at this point. So it's great, man. This could be the start of something big. It definitely feels like it.
That's a great point, too. Knocking off the Seahawks, going into Seattle week 17 to win that game, to give yourself that home field advantage. Obviously, that hurt the Seahawks to lose that game. And at the same time, the reigning Super Bowl team from the NFC, the team that was playing at this time last year in the same division, the Los Angeles Rams, knocking them off, beating them twice in the season, and they didn't even make the playoffs. So really just taking over the division, being the one seed, being the best team in the NFC, all those things, it's a lot of optimism right now. So this team is pretty fun for that reason. And I go back to the Tevin Coleman thing, the story about Akello Witherspoon
saying
that he wanted to play special teams and not pouting about getting benched, essentially.
God,
and he might not play another
snap
the rest of the year. Like, high character players, high character locker room, very easy to root for these guys because they're nasty, they're fast, they play hard, but they also have fun. There's a fun element to it with Kittle and the theatrics of Nick Bosa on the ground. They're chanting his name, he gets up. Like, such awesome moments. So it's a fun team to root for.
Yeah, you mentioned the high character thing, and I threw out the Apex thing last week, and quite a few listeners have started playing with me, which is a lot of fun. And one of them wanted, he was mentioning, like, oh, maybe, you know, Saleh will go to Cleveland and he'll trade us OBJ. And I was like, I don't want OBJ. Like, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would fit well in this locker room with these guys that are willing to give up whatever it takes. You know, like, how would he handle, like, what's happening to Emmanuel Sanders, where he'll come out and he'll have one big catch and then you don't hear from him again for, you know, like, three quarters?
Yeah.
I don't think that OBJ can handle that. You know, I don't think that he's the right fit in this situation. Like, I love the way that they vet guys and that they really want to bring in guys that do it the 49er way. And you know, we lost that for a lot of years. A lot of years, the 49ers were the joke. You know, it was like, oh, Alvin Smith's in trouble. And what was that fullback's name? Like, you know, it's like over and over and over. It's like every year someone was getting in trouble with the law. And it's like the 49er arrested again. Awesome. You know, and now it's like, okay, we got far away from that. You know, we've got the character guys. We've got the class guys. And I mean, just what Akello Witherspoon did is the epitome of what you want in a teammate. He loses his job. He's humiliated. But he goes and he's like, I want the guy filling in for me to not be tired. I want to do his special team. So I'm like, that's amazing. Bravo.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. And really, it all comes down from it was the original press conference from John Lynch.
Yeah.
Right? And that's pretty much his vision has been seen through to this point. So you got to give those guys credit that are running the team up top.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Brett has a second question here, and he's gotten a lot of airtime already, but I like this question, and I want to hear your opinion on it. He says, is it better to watch meaningful games like NFC Championship games, Super Bowls, alone or with your whole squad? He says he watched the divisional round with some Patriots fans, and it was great, but the next few weeks might get a little bit more intense. For me, that's easy. Isolation, by myself.
Yep.
No, like, blinders on completely. That's the best way to watch the game, to really be involved. That's why the Super Bowl is a bummer for me, because so many things that aren't about football get involved. Like, I don't want to see this terrible, awful halftime show. There's been, like, maybe three, and that's being generous, like, not good, watchable halftime shows in my life. Like, that
right.
It is awful every year, and people make such a big deal about it. And if you come to my house for the Super Bowl, and you tell me to turn it up during commercial, you're going to get the hell out of my house and not be asked back. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, dude, I'm with you. Isolation is the key. Like, especially at my house, like, I don't want to feel like I have to entertain you. If you come over and there's a football game, especially if my team's playing, like, I want to watch it by myself. I want to crank it up. I want to pace. I want to talk, you know, I want to talk out loud and not have to worry about, you know, someone, especially, oh, you get like that hater that comes over too and like doesn't even have a rooting interest but knows that you're rooting for one team. So like cheers when stuff happens for the other team. Like, I can't handle that. I'm not into it. I'm with you. This year is going to be the first year for me ever that my wife's going out of town on the Super Bowl day and I'm not going to invite anybody over. I'm just going to hang out. I'm going to watch it by myself. I'm going to enjoy every minute of that Super Bowl by myself.
I could have a small group of people that are also into the game. Like, that's okay. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what team they're rooting for. As long as people are into the game and it's as if you have front row seats.
And not talking the whole time about other things.
If someone's talking during the game, they come over, you're having a Super Bowl party and they're just yapping it up. And you like, you just stare at them while you grab the remote and turn up the
crank
volume
it up
on
to
the
100.
TV. You're like, yeah, could you please stop?
Turn it up to 11.
All right.
No, dude, I'm totally with you. Like, if you have the right crew, obviously, you know, you can watch any game with them. But if it's up to me, I'm going to watch a football game by myself so that I can really enjoy it and really get into it and not get distracted.
We've got some more questions here I want to hit. And I, of course, want to get the Winkler prediction on Sunday's game next.
Oh, yeah.
This spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. And I can attest to it. Going to spring training is awesome for any baseball fan. It's just a fun vacation, fun place to get away, great food. You'll rub elbows with baseball people and broadcasters, and it's just a really cool time. 10 stadiums, 15 Major League Baseball teams, 75-degree temperatures, all 10 stadiums in the greater Phoenix area within 50 miles. Meet the players, get autographs before games, check out the upcoming prospects. One of my favorite things to do, go prospecting, find out who the next Major League stars are going to be. Amazing restaurants, tons of bars, craft breweries, of course, tons of outdoor adventures and hiking, biking. And you can even check off some must-see destinations from your bucket list, like the Grand Canyon. Bringing the kids along to spring training, Arizona is a fantastic destination for families. Family-friendly resorts and hotels offer plenty of fun for kids of all ages. Horseback rides to games, activities, wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums, and dude ranches. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining. This one is from Bastian in Germany. He says, "Hey, exquisitely informing Brian. Hey, legendary entertaining Nick." Thank you, Bastian, for recognizing the legendary mindset that Nick got up with today.
It's very important. Everything I do is legendary, especially today. So thank you for noticing.
He calls himself Faithful Bastian. So a Faithful like Bastian, thank you for the question.
Bastian just takes me to Never-Ending Story, though, right?
It absolutely does.
I dig it, though. It's a great name. Does. I wanted my name to be Bastian when I was young, so I'm jealous.
With the 49ers D as dominant as ever before and the running game cutting the Vikings D into slices, do you think that Kyle Shanahan can apply the exact same game plan from the Vikings game against the Packers? And do you expect Dante Pettis on the field during the next two games of the season?
The last one's pretty easy to answer. Obviously not.
Yeah, he's got a nice little Pettis, warm spot on the sideline. That's pretty much.
And I hope not, because I feel like the only way he's getting on the field is an injury to one of the guys in front of him. And I hate to see that.
There's something in Kyle Shanahan that he's going to like a redemption story of Dante Pettis for one weird, even if it's a gimmick play, coming on the field, throwing a touchdown pass, right? Something where Dante Pettis is involved and does something and they draw up a play, sort of like when the 49ers played the Packers the last time and they went three tight ends and you had Richie James on the field, and Richie James hasn't seen the field much, but they had a package and they had this one play and the time was right. He thought he'd get the right look and he employed this one player. And if he's got a uniform on at some point, I think Kyle Shanahan might use some of those players. So
it's a little surprising to me that Pettis hasn't gotten any punt returns or kick returns or anything like that. Like, I know James has done a great job, but Pettis set records in college.
It's a crazy situation with Dante Pettis in the doghouse that he's in. And the first part of the question, game plan, game plan. Do you just make the Packers like, look, this is how we play. Can you even beat this? Cause we don't need to change if we don't have to.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you come out with that mindset, right? I mean, you come out and you run the ball, and if it's not working, then you give it to Jimmy G and you let him throw the ball. And he's proven that he can do that when they're going to put eight in the box or something. Like, he'll beat you that way. You know, he likes the middle of the field, but he can throw it to the outside. He can work the bootleg. You know, there's a lot of reverses and things that can you know, be brought out to negate a team trying to stuff the box. And if Green Bay's smart, they'll do that. You know, they won't let the 49ers run all over them like the Vikings did. But, yeah, I can totally see Kyle coming out with the same thing. I mean, Juszczyk didn't even touch the ball last game. You know, like, that's your offensive weapon right there. That's a guy that can just really get things going. And, yeah, I see that the game count could be similar, but I know Kyle, and he'll have an answer for it if for some reason, you know, it is stopped or for some reason, maybe he just throws us a total curveball. He comes out and throws the ball, you know, 20 times to open the game. Who knows? That's what I love about Kyle is, like, he's not predictable. I don't know what that guy's going to do. And neither does the other team. And that's why he's so damn good.
Yeah. He's done a pretty good job of throwing me for a loop this season. And even with the depth chart, you think it's a certain way, and then You know, it's like, oh, is it going to be Coleman or Mostert starting? Oh, no, it's actually going to be Matt Breida, but he's only going to take one snap.
One snap, and then we don't see him again for like two quarters.
It's crazy. Yeah, so yeah, keep them on their toes. I know that George Kittle had a really good game against the Packers last time, and the Vikings are the best team in the NFL defending tight ends, and it's obvious that they put resources into that, and they were all over George Kittle, and you've got Eric Kendricks overplaying the middle of the field, and he got an interception because of it, almost got another one on a target too. George Kittle and the safeties are good. I think that's where it'll be different. I think George Kittle will definitely be more involved, but at the same time, and Robert Saleh's defense it's not as vanilla as it once was, but you kind of know exactly what that's going to look like the way they defend right. Because they just play sound and they say, go ahead and beat us because I think we can line up and beat you. But offensively, I think we might see some more wrinkles, and I think there's going to be some stuff in Kyle Shanahan's back pocket and some misdirections and some fun things that if the game script calls for it, then he'll dig deep into his bag of tricks and we might see some fun things. But if you can just line up and beat a team, then go do it.
Yeah, and you mentioned the defense too. Like, I think that Williams and Mosley are going to get a heavy dose of Devontae Adams because I can't see them trotting him out to the right and putting Sherman on him too often.
Got a tweet from Joshua. He wants to show his family that we are true blue cats who will give the listeners love. Would you like to give Joshua and his Niner love and family some love?
No, definitely not.
Are you? You're not a true blue cat?
Of course, Joshua. What's up? Your family, love. You guys are Niner fans, man. I love all Niner fans, man. Faithful got to stick together.
Holler to Joshua's family. You're a true red and gold cat, not a true blue cat, right?
Oh, I like that. That's cool. That's good.
Austin says, all the talk is about how strong the locker room is this season, and it reminds me a lot of the locker room Harbaugh built with the who's got it better than us mentality. Is there something to be said about the importance of family over talent on successful NFL teams?
Yeah, like I said earlier with the OBJ stuff, man, there's something to be said for the right kind of guy. Like, yeah, you know, you may be taking a small step back by bringing in a certain kind of guy, but if that guy is there for the team and will pick up a teammate and, you know, do this and that and really do what's best for the full squad, yeah, I'm 100% behind going that over the diva.
I wouldn't put it over talent. I think it's both family and talent. Yeah. Find those guys in the draft that are high character but are also good football players, because I think you absolutely need both. And Harbaugh paid lip service to it, but it was a grinding atmosphere. Like, nine guys retired after a couple of years with Harbaugh, right? So it's like, maybe it wasn't all love and family, but the point is valid. Family, talent are both very important. You can't just get a guy who's all about himself, even if he's really good. It's in the end probably won't help your football team all that much,
right?
And Thad says, so with all this analyzing going on, I feel myself overanalyzing things. What makes this matchup different than last week? Cooks, Dig, Thielen, and Rudolph sound more scary than Jones, Adams, and Graham. Hashtag A-Rod, hashtag yikes. I think he says hashtags. They've got a better quarterback. I think I think he nailed it with the yikes with that, because A-Rod's never going to be out of it.
You can't compare Rodgers and Cousins. Like, they're just, you don't do that.
Right, exactly. And Dalvin Cook and Diggs and Thielen, they're all very good. Jones is a pretty dynamic running back too, so you shouldn't overlook him.
Devontae Adams is one of the best receivers in the league.
He can get open, and Rodgers looks for him, and so he's going to be heavily targeted. It'll probably be lined up a lot on Emmanuel Mosley, who I'm guessing is going to start the game at right cornerback, so that is one of the matchups to watch. It's going to be fun.
They work him out of the slot a lot too, so Williams might be a busy one as well.
Yep, they move him around. They want to get those matchups, and he's their best receiver by far, so that's who I'd be looking for too if I was Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. It's frightening for sure.
We got a minute left here, Nick. What is your prediction for the NFC Championship game, 49ers, Packers? You nailed it last week. You called the blowout, and it was a blowout. The score doesn't even tell the story about how dominating the 49ers were against the Vikings. What have you got for the NFC Championship game this weekend?
I think it's going to be a tight one. You know, if you're asking me if I want to take the Niners -7 or 7.5, no, I don't think so. You know, I would hate to put my money on the Packers, but if you're going to give me 7.5 points, I might have to do it, because I think the 49ers win this game, and I think it's going to be a tight one. I think it's going to be back and forth. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of scoring, and hopefully the Niners come out, run the ball, control the clock, and can keep Rodgers out of the end zone and keep that ball away from Devontae Adams. But no, I definitely think the 49ers are a better football team than the Green Bay Packers are, And I know that there's the whole revenge story of Rodgers and this and that coming back to the Bay. And no, I think that the 49ers are going to win this football game. And I, if I had to put a score on it, I'd probably say 21-17.
I think Rodgers has revenged all he needs to over the course of his career over the 49ers, not drafting
him. He has a Hall of Fame career. He's already proven that they were done.
That page has been turned because this 49ers team, I think, is too good. They showed how good they were, even if it's not the blowout that it was in Week 12. I agree with you. 49ers straight up, absolutely. They're a better team. No worries about them reading the press clippings and taking the Packers lightly at all. That's why they're such a high-character team. They're self-starters. They're pros. They're going to go out there, and they're going to handle their business, and it's not going to be a blowout, I don't think, but I think it's going to be similar to what I predicted last week. It's probably going to be a one-score game, but it's going to go to the 49ers.
Yep, I'm with you. It's not going to be like the first time they met, that's for sure, although that was a fun game to watch.
And we'll break it all down next week. Locked On 49ers.